Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Seriously, if you want to relieve stress, go to the Word of God.
Oh my goodness. It's just so weird, isn't it? Do people say stuff like that?
I apologize for it.
Are you kidding me?
Let's all do baptism, and I have a little pool here, and we'll all feel nice and relaxed. That's baptism. No, baptism is a sacred Christian rite. All the various yogas are sacred Hindu rites.
Wake up, America!
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Let's do this.
It's the Wretched Radio mail call delivery bag Q&A infotainment nationwide extravaganza featuring your voicemails, correspondences, communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
Any special message for all the kids watching at home?
What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country.
You have 1,200 messages.
That is a bit above average.
Now here's your host, Todd Freakishly Tall Friel.
The mail is here!
Ooh! This is Wretched Radio.
You need to hit another gear in there, Todd?
I downshifted for you. I slowed down because you're walking around here like Tim Conway and like the old, I got it. I can only shuffle across the floor. You're the one who's in the low gear. What is the matter with you?
Well, you know what? I've got some sore spots.
You got hit by a car.
I feel like it. That's for sure.
Because?
I went to the gym. You know, I've been going to the gym this week. We talked about that earlier.
Every day?
Yes.
Well,
I didn't go this morning.
You were the one who's like, hey, I'm going to hit it really light. It's been a while since I've been in the gym. So I'm just going to. Every day?
Well, that's not hitting it hard.
So you did leg day, didn't you?
I did do leg day.
There it is right there. Never. See, that's why like no day is leg day. So Jimmy, we'll just try to keep it really slow for you. But I do have a gift. Because I care for you.
Another big word you'll learn in school.
What's the word on the street?
Epsom salts. Epsom salts. Whatever those are. Please send stuff, but do it slowly to idea@wretched.org and text away questions, comments, conundrums, snarks to 877-282-2337.
All right, this is a question. We'll stay in the same realm from Anonymous, a text. Todd, I've always struggled with my weight, and I am considered obese. It's come up as an objection during witnessing encounters. And when something is that apparent, I'm wondering if I should forego witnessing unless and until I get my weight under control.
This is slightly tricky in that if there is something about our person that is off-putting and undermines our message, we need to assess if indeed that is the role we should be playing. The reason that I think weight is a little different is because it kind of depends. There's genetic disposition and there could indeed be just overeating and a lack of exercising. And then you drop 70 pounds out of the blue and then go back to the gym every single day. And then you can barely get from point A to point B in an hour and a half. I'm so sorry. I don't know where that came from. Why are you that overweight? Is it a sin issue? Is it a gluttony issue? Or is it a genetic disposition issue? And furthermore, we want to be careful. These arbitrary standards that have been set by medical professionals about who's overweight and body, all of that. God just makes us a lot differently. Look at me and Jimmy. Like, we are like totally different body types. And so you can't, this is that, and how does it fit on this person? So I think the distinction that you need to make is it genetic? Is it just something that's just the way that the Lord has made me? Then I don't think you need to feel guilty if you do not have the idol of food. Now, what if it's overeating? Should you stop witnessing if it isn't? You said that they're actually bringing it up as an objection?
Yeah, that's what he said, yes.
Okay. Well, then I think you've got an option. I think you could step aside for a bit until you start shedding some pounds or get on it. And if somebody brings it up while you're out witnessing, say, you know what? You're right. I've been sinning. I've been consuming too much food. I have not been as active as I think I should be. And so because of that, I've repented of that. And I'm on a diet plan right now. I've lost 8 pounds. Let's get back to whether you've lied or not. And then I think that I think it's up to you which way you go with it, but I don't think that you'd be sinning if you're getting on it and you can explain to somebody who maybe brings it up. Jimmy, you got anything else to add to that?
I think the way you laid it out, I would agree with. I would agree with it. I mean, the gospel, it's not about appearances inherently.
Of course not.
So you want to, you don't want to stop sharing the message of the gospel. I don't think.
No, but I do think there's other roles. Okay, so let's just say, for instance, I travel to the island of Boingo Boingo. The average height is 4 feet 2 inches. Mm. I'm like super freak. I'm just like, you're just the, and anytime I approach somebody, they actually think Goliath is stalking them. I might have to say, you know what? I'll have to play a different role in this evangelistic effort because it's undermining what we're actually trying to do here. Okay. I think that there's other, don't forget, somebody needs to hold the rope. It's not just the person who goes down the well. There's a way to hold the rope. You can support with prayer, transportation, getting the sound system set up, baking goodies to give away, getting gospel tracks, giving money to whatever the gasoline, whatever is needed. There's other ways to participate in evangelism. And I don't say that to get us all off the hook of being ready to give a reason for the hope that lies within us and make every opportunity to actually share the gospel, make the most of that. But I do think that if you've got something about you that just, it doesn't, and I don't care whether it's weight, whether it's my huge nose, whatever it is, if people are bringing it up, I just want to be wise and maybe consider playing another role. But if you're going to get it under condition, under control, I personally would say keep witnessing, because if the person does bring it up, it actually could be a pretty powerful testimony. And if you're sitting at home, yeah, I think you miss that opportunity as long as you are indeed making an effort. And I do believe, may I have a testimony? Jimmy, dropping 70 pounds, you feeling any better?
Feel better than I've ever felt.
Well, with the exception of your hippity hop thing that you've got going on.
That's a good feint. That's a good
877-282-2337.
And this is from Anonymous. Todd, what would you recommend doing or how to deal with Mormon missionaries when they come to your door? Come on in, fellas.
If they'll come in.
That's right.
This is my take. I know other people they've actually prepared even some booklets for them. We don't have them here, but I know that there's materials for that. My experience is they will talk plenty and happily about Mormonism, but as soon as you start to press back and turn the table, they're trained to shut you down. Furthermore, they're better, by the way, than Jehovah's Witnesses, but nevertheless, they will engage to a degree. You start getting into the conversation and you are going to just go round and round and round. Now, some people would say, do that because you can show them that Jesus Christ is not a created being. And you show that through revelation, the deity claims of Jesus Christ, the I am statements. Yeah, you can do that. And I say, rock on. My personal experience is I've never had a fruitful conversation with one of them when I've gone down that road. Not saying that there's a do not enter sign, but I'm not going down that road anymore. Instead, the key issue with the Mormons that I think that where you can actually make some headway is in their conscience. They're in a works-based system. That's why they're out there. You think these teenagers, they want to go live someplace away from their family for a couple of years and go out in this, dress like that, ride around in bicycles, have their doors slammed in their faces? Probably not many of them are all that thrilled about it. So if you engage them, you can bring that up. Hey, I know why you're out here. You're working. You're working your way to heaven, aren't you? Let me share something great with you. Jesus paid it all because he's God-man, Jesus Christ. His sacrifice pays for all of your sins, and you can bask in that grace and you can go to heaven. Not because of what you do on a missions trip or how many kids you have or how much money you give or the good deeds that you do, because you can't do enough because you still have a big old sin problem. So if you'd like to have your sins forgiven and live a life of joy, abundant joy, then I'd encourage you to find an actual Christian church where they teach the Bible and run out of Mormonism because it's a work-based system. Gotta go. Have a good day. Goodbye. And let it just hang on them. Or here's another one that I've also done is just pressed on the law. How good have you been? And you can press into all of the commandments. You can press into any sin that you want. How are you? What are you going to do with that? What's happening with that? How are you going to deal with that? Friend, you need a God man. You need a savior. You need Jesus Christ. And he's willing to forgive you, but you've got to lay down your work righteous system, surrender it and say, I've been wrong. I cannot work my way to heaven. I must rely on Jesus Christ. See, you got to go. Bye-bye. Take care. Because I want to leave it hanging with them. Two big thoughts. You ain't going to get there on your works, but Jesus will. That's my approach. That's my take. There are others. Please feel free. I'm not saying this is better. I'm just saying this is my experience. And these days, frankly, experience trumps everything. So I guess it is official, at least for me. Please send stuff to idea@wretched.org, whether it is a sermon, a story, an article, anything wretched, and text your questions, comments, conundrums, or snarks to 877-282-2337. This is Wretched Radio.
You know what I love about coffee? It's not just the first sip in the morning, though that's pretty great. It's that you can count on it. Every morning, it's there, ready to wake you up and get your day started. And that's exactly what we've built with the Fortis Plus app. It's your daily dose of biblical truth, ready when you are, completely free. Think about it. Every day, the culture is throwing lies at you faster than you can dodge them. Your kids are getting discipled by TikTok. Your marriage is under attack. And the world is telling you that up is down and wrong is right. But what if every day you had access to voices that would remind you what's actually true? Dr. John Krotz, Pastor Brad Bickney, Dr. Adam Tyson, Jason Lyle, Dr. Andrew Walker, Libby Gloss, Dr. Greg Gifford, and others, all on Fortis Plus, where you're going to find hundreds of hours of content and new stuff being added daily, absolutely free. Look, you're already reaching for your phone first thing in the morning anyway. Why not make it count? Download Fortis Plus right now and start your day with truth instead of trash. It's free, it's biblical, and it's exactly what you need to stand strong in this brave new world. Fortis Plus at fortisplus.org.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California, beautiful campus, all of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, number six for preparing students for the real world. All that. Plus, the Masters University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. At Fortis Institute, we've assembled an incredible team of biblical voices who are equipping believers every day. Dr. John Krotz, Dr. Adam Tyson, Dr. Greg Gifford, Libby Glosson, Pastor Brad Bickney, Dr. Andrew Walker, Jason Lyle, Tim Challies, and of course, our very own Todd Friel. And their work has been invaluable in equipping believers because that's our mission. And the beautiful part, when you join us and link arms with us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner, your faithful giving doesn't just sit there. It multiplies into campus evangelism and biblical counseling, marriage restoration, and gospel proclamation across the globe. And speaking of equipping people, make sure you download Fortis Plus. It is completely free if you haven't downloaded it yet, and it is loaded with hundreds of hours of content, with new content added every single day. No cost, no catch, just solid biblical truth. Look, the fields are white for harvest, and your monthly partnership make it possible. Join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner right now by visiting fortisinstitute.org. Wretched. Amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Revelation. Special revelation is God's act of making himself known through direct means. In history, God has spoken directly to people like Adam, Noah, Abraham, Moses, and the prophets. 2,000 years ago, he revealed himself in the person of Jesus Christ. Today, he reveals himself in his perfect word, the Bible.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Vengeance, it's such an ugly thing. This is Wretched Radio. You bust a guy's chops for going to the gym like a maniac after a 5-year sabbatical. And how does he respond? Oh, gratitude? Oh, no. Instead, during the break, he informs me there's a much better way to go about the business of witnessing to a Mormon and Jehovah's Witness. I hope you feel better with your Lex Talionis that you just did right. Okay, so tell everybody about the Jehovah's Witness expert guy.
Yeah,
that actually engages with Jehovah's Witnesses.
So I have a friend back home in Tennessee. I guess this is my home now, but I have a friend back in Tennessee who his brother is a Jehovah's Witness, and he has become an expert in Jehovah's Witnesses because he tries to talk to his brother. So he wanted to learn their theology. And so I've been with him as people have pulled, Jehovah's Witnesses have pulled up, and he will engage with them as if he's interested. And he wants to talk with them about what they've got to talk about. And so he'll ask questions, and then they'll pull out their Jehovah's Witness Bible, the New World Translation, and explain to him. And then he'll ask another question, and they'll go to another verse, which completely contradicts what they just said. And like I told you, it's masterful to watch.
So there are other ways to do it. Yeah. I'm not saying how I deal with it. And personality type, what the knowledge that you possess. Look, if somebody like this fellow, Jimmy's friend.
Yeah.
Okay. Jimmy's got a friend, and this friend became an expert in Jehovah's Witnesses. I'd prefer not to. Just me, I'd prefer not to become an expert in Mormonism. I know enough to understand that it's the big essential problems with it, but I don't care to do that. So I think you've heard a number of ways to do it. Deal with the conscience. Let their work righteous system be a yoke around their neck and point them to Jesus, the God-man, he's the necessary one for forgiveness of sins, that the wrath of God would be satisfied and that we would have an actual human representative. It was necessary for him to be God-man Jesus Christ. And to point as emphatically as you can at him, you need the God-man Jesus Christ. I keep it that tight. You can do kind of the sword drill that Jimmy's talking about. I know there's people who do that, and they do it really, really well. You can give them literature. You can have things prepared for them. And if you choose to go about the business of going round and round and, you know, showing the deity of Jesus Christ in the Bible, that too is valid. I think it depends on personality. I think it depends on knowledge and just kind of what you sense in the moment. I was going to say, how you feel led by the Spirit. The problem with saying that is in Romans chapter 8, being led by the Spirit doesn't mean I got a feeling I should do it this way with these Mormon dudes at my door. Instead, to be led by the Spirit is you are living a life. The totality of your life is aimed in His direction. He's leading you, teaching you, convicting you. That's what it means to be led by the Spirit. Got a question, comment, conundrum, or snark? Please text 877-282-2337.
All right, this next question is from Pam. Todd, my pastor purchases sermons online from sermons.com.
Yeah.
He preaches.
Did you have to give out that address?
Well, I'm sorry. He preaches as if he wrote them without giving credit to the original author.
No.
Many think he's a great preacher. I see him as lazy and plagiaristic. Any advice?
Well, he could be lazy. He's definitely plagiarizing. Pray for your heart. Why does this bug you? And yes, it should bug you because this is not your shepherd crafting a message just for you. That's legitimate. You can even be, you know, be upset. It's like, wow, look at the drift that we're seeing inside of it. I get that. And you can have that, but I think it also should have a component of, oh no, there must be something going on in my pastor's life that he would feel like he needs to lean into this and buy sermons and not give them credit. Oh, I wonder if he's okay. I wonder if there's any health issues. I wonder if he's somebody, you know, told him that he needs to start going to this website, and he got a coupon and he got reeled in and a bunch of stuff came up and they're taking a trip to Greece. But your heart is concerned for him. Once you get to that place, now you can approach him and say, hey, pastor, I know you're buying sermons online. No, better yet, pastor, are you buying sermons online? Because now you want to be Socratic. You want to ask questions. That's being very Pauline. Is there a reason that you're doing that as opposed to doing the heavy lifting of crafting a sermon every single week? Are you okay? Is there a health issue? Something going on with the kids, grandkids? And approach it because you care for him. And you should be able to have that conversation. If he says, yeah, I've got no excuse. I just like doing it because it makes my preaching better. And then you can share with him why you don't think that it's making his preaching better. Because preaching has unction. Preaching has unction. And you can tell the difference. You just can't you? I think it was a quote from Martin Lloyd-Jones just last week. When a man enters a pulpit, you can tell if he's been with the Lord. You can tell if he understands his mission. You can tell if he's really been impacted by what he's about to present. And you can't get that from buying a sermon online. So, pastor, my encouragement is jettison those sermons. I'd rather hear a sermon from you for us that you did, even if it's not as good. It doesn't have the bells and whistles. I prefer that. I wanted to let you know. And see how he responds. If you approach him respectfully, out of concern, the conversation should go well. Should he refuse to, and for whatever reason, he doesn't have a health issue, a family issue. Nope, I'm just going to keep doing it because now I only have to spend like 40 minutes a week and I don't have to spend 14 hours getting that sermon ready and I can spend more time on the accounting at the church. Well, you would have some legitimate concerns about this being the man that is the shepherd of your soul. And you would want to start working through the process of considering, is that the ideal place for you? That should be done slowly, a number of steps involved. But depending on how that encounter goes, it might be something that you have to at least consider and seek a lot of wisdom on. Did I just do that like Donald Trump? That's my second time today. Because I watch one clip of Donald Trump and you just pick up his mannerisms. A lot of things, that the way that he talks. I've done it twice. Speaking of twice, I hate to speak ill of a church, but I'm going to. Community Bible Church in Beaufort. Two people thought I was Gavin Newsom. That is not acceptable, church. That is not the way that you treat somebody who comes to visit your church, calling them the Gavin News. Two people said that.
That's funny.
It's not. Well, sure, it's funny to you. Okay. You look like Nancy Pelosi. How do you like that, pal?
Well, that's not true. You could pass for Gavin Newsom.
I could not pass. Like, he has a spiritual gift for lying. Now, you have to ask yourself the question, of course, from whence does that spiritual gift come? Because it ain't God. 877. Oh, by the way, I think I did the wrong call letters for a Community Bible Church. Their radio station. It's WAGP. I think I gave the wrong call letters the other day when we were talking about him.
Okay.
There, it's a flamethrower of a station. That station just rocks. Because when we were driving in, we turned it on and it's like, there it is, crystal clear. It is a great ministry. It's a great church. Even though they called me Gavin Newsom twice. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Evan. Todd, when Christians sin, do we exit or break the covenant between God momentarily until we repent?
Let me just press into that because I've got a quick answer, but let me just try this instead of the answer. How many seconds do you think it's broken? How many minutes? Now, it's broken. What do you need to do to get it fixed? What work do you need to perform to get it unbroken? Suddenly we're in the realm of work righteousness. Suddenly we're in the realm of you're contributing to the maintenance of your salvation. And that is just simply anti-biblical. Your salvation is, the covenant is cut. It's done. When you got saved, there was a declaration that echoed throughout eternity that said, mine, you are hit, you're in. And you don't step out because you sin and then step back in because you, what, prayed, gave some money, witnessed to somebody, didn't watch pornography. What is it that, furthermore in the Bible, what prescription is given? I know it doesn't tell us how many seconds the covenant is broken because it doesn't say that, but where is the manual to help you know how to get it unbroken? You don't find that. Instead, what do you hear emphatically over and over and over again? If you are in Christ, nothing can separate you from the love of God. And Paul, list after list, neither trials, tribulation, persecution, temptation, nor height, nor width, nor depth, nor breadth, nor any other created thing can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Ain't that good news? This is Wretched Radio.